The scandal at the Department of Veterans Affairs is another chink in the armor of public opinion about the federal government, and the public anger over the scandal may mean your agency now gets even less room to make mistakes than it has now and that it has had in the past. Tom Shoup is editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine. This is all, isn't it, Tom, about the standard to which federal agencies are held, I think.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it that this is the root of this, is that agencies are held to a high standard and should be held to a very high standard, higher than your average private sector organization, particularly when you're doing something like providing care to veterans. The problem is that a lot of the quick fix solutions that are being thrown about are really kind of short-sighted in terms of the long-term picture about what's the appropriate way to treat civil servants and what protections they should have and whether really we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater here.
The idea, though, that we can expect perfection from our federal agencies is not, I don't think, reasonable. Kim McCabe from ASI Government was on the program yesterday talking about a piece that she wrote in your magazine that she starts off by writing, government is held to a standard no industry, company, or CEO must meet. And we talked a little bit about whether that's reasonable and whether that expectation is something that can ever be met. And, of course, it can't be. Nobody's perfect, and no organization consisting of human beings is perfect. Mistakes will happen. And so I guess the issue becomes, how do you respond to them and how do you mitigate them? How do you do, I guess, you know, continuous diagnostics and mitigation of your people?
Yeah, perfection is too much to ask for of any organization, and it's never going to happen. It's, in my view, appropriate to hold federal agencies to a higher standard than a private company would be held to in terms of the nature of the service they provide and the way they provide it. But it's really too much to ask that they achieve perfection, because that's just not something that anybody can do.
So what's the expectation that we get out of something like this? I mean, I read through a link on your website. I went to Ron Fournier's pieces over the last several days in National Journal about this, and he's extremely critical of the administration. But it strikes me that people like him that are looking at this from what I perceive at least to be a more objective point of view are criticizing. It's like the Watergate syndrome. It's not the crime, it's the cover-up. And in this case, I'm not referring to cover-up necessarily, but the response to whatever the wrongdoing was.
Yeah, well, there's definitely appears to be something of a cover-up issue here in terms of the reports that actions were taken to cover up actual waiting times, and that's a serious problem and one that absolutely should be investigated and addressed. The deeper issue here, though, is right now we're in a sort of typical Washington rush to judgment about what has happened, first of all, and a rush to firing as the solution. This is the Washington response, is to say, something's gone wrong, people must be fired. And so we have to have a big debate over whether, first of all, the head of the agency needs to be fired, and secondly, and this is becoming now more and more common, we need to more quickly fire whoever is alleged to have done something wrong. And in this case, they're taking it so far as to, without much but anything in the way of serious debate, remove decades and decades worth of precedent in terms of civil service protections and protecting senior executives in particular from political influence, and saying we just don't need those protections anymore, and the most important thing is that we're able to fire people as quickly as we can.
Tom Shoup's editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine, and I think, Tom, that Carol Bonacero of the Senior Executives Association makes a very strong case when she says, so if they pass this legislation at VA, what's to stop them from passing it at DOD or DHS or every other federal agency or some bill to say, well, if we have this firing authority in place at VA, we should have it all across the federal government. So why wouldn't that make sense? I mean, admittedly, making sense in Congress aren't terms that get put right next to each other a lot lately, but it does, the slippery slope argument in this case seems to be pretty good on Carol's part.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of slippery slope arguments in general, but in this case, I think it very strongly applies, and I think there's very little question that this is an effort to get a foot in the door to do this across government. And I think people should be very careful about that and what the implications are, because there are going to be a whole bunch of new scandals in the future based on people's ability to fire people very easily. Like, if imagine the next time a whistleblower comes forward with this kind of information. If their political boss finds out, the first thing they can do is try to fire them, and it'll be much easier for them to do. Now, I'm not quite certain in the legislation if whistleblower protections remain. I'm guessing they probably do, at least to a certain extent. But still, making it easier to fire people is going to have all kinds of unforeseen ramifications.
It does certainly seem to me that it would be logical to assume that we might see more cases of either finding or manufacturing scandals around people if that's all it takes. And I don't mean to denigrate the fact that people should be responsible for their actions. But if you can make something up about somebody, or you can find something that you can make into a fireable offense, if that's all there is to it, that's a really dramatic change in the protections that employees have.
Right. And if you're going to create a situation where political appointees can easily fire anyone they want, then you are going to see a big increase in the number of people who get arbitrarily fired to make room for people who are more politically well-connected. And particularly in the case of an agency like the VA, where you want people with experience and expertise, I think you're very likely to see experienced people more frequently be replaced with people who are not as good at the job.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if anybody in Congress has considered that the legislation that they're pursuing about the VA is exactly the opposite of what everybody from all ideological perspectives who has studied the federal workforce and has proposed reforms and restructures to the federal workforce has proposed. It's the exact 180-degree opposite.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the problem with these kinds of situations. When these scandals arise, suddenly great numbers of people become experts on federal management who don't pay any attention to federal management at any other time of the year. And so it creates these situations where there's a rush to do something, and it really isn't well thought through. I think there's a very good case to be made that there are too many restrictions on firing people in government, and that there ought to be a more streamlined way to do it. I think there is a strong case to be made there. But simply saying, we just need to remove all these restrictions, and then if that's a good idea, why are you doing it at just one agency? Now you're at the very least setting up a two-tiered system where in just one part of government you can be easily fired. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Where do you see this headed, Tom? Rob Neighbors has left OMB is out of the office and conducting an investigation on behalf of the White House about this. He's a very trusted advisor to President Obama, very highly respected on both sides of the aisle here in Washington. What do you think happens? I mean, obviously, we don't know till we see the report about specific actions that take place. But broadly, where do you see this going?
I think it's going to be very hard to stop this train at this point. People want to show that they're taking some kind of action, and that's Democrats and Republicans alike. They're going to go home for the Memorial Day recess, and they're going to get an earful from constituents about this issue and what they're doing about it. And I think it's going to be very tough for Eric Shinseki to keep his job, and it's going to be very tough for anybody to stop this legislation to more easily fire people at VA.
I want to talk about something else that you and I have discussed a couple of times throughout this week. First of all, I want to thank you and your colleague Catherine Peters and some of the other members of the Federal Business Media who came and sat in on one of the panel discussions at the Management of Change on Monday, where we talked about the track that I was the moderator for was about the should government be its own systems integrator on IT systems. And we had a terrific conversation with a lot of great people from the government, and I'll leave somebody out if I try to do it by memory and talk about who was there. But the conversation was great. The last part of it, right after lunch, revolved around discussing issues in IT deployment with the media and getting your story out. And one of the things that has been a burr under my saddle for all of the 8 years that I've been here, and that I found that you and I have in common, and you have more experience in this realm than I do, is the reticence of agencies to tell the positive stories that they have. And the reason why we agreed that that is valuable, and we discussed this at this conference, is because then when something like the VA comes along or something like healthcare.gov comes along, there's a context, there's a body of work for people to point to say, yeah, not everything we do is screwed up. When those positive stories don't get told, when those things are not out there and available for other journalists in the mainstream media who cover general interest news stories, or for the average citizen to find online, like everybody can find everything nowadays, it's easy to pretend those success stories don't exist. And it's been tremendously frustrating for me, and I know tremendously frustrating for you, that we don't have any better ability to tell those stories when we want to, and we have a track record of doing so, like you and your colleagues at GovExec do, of being able to do that.
Yeah, it's definitely an increasing problem, has been ever since I've been following this, and that's for longer than I care to disclose. But there's no question about it that it seems tougher and tougher to get information out of agencies, even about things they're doing well. And more people within the public affairs operation in government take an adversarial view of the media. Now, I don't entirely blame them for that. There is some reporting on what happens in government that's really not very well informed, and I understand that's an issue. But at the same time, merely sort of taking the position that we're not going to cooperate, even on things that might tend to make government look good or facilitate the sharing of best practices among agencies, it's really kind of short-sighted and unfortunate, and just sort of perpetuates the negative view of government, I think.
I would propose that part of the reason that the approval rating of the federal government, and specifically the executive branch, is as low as it is because of that very issue, because there is no context at all for the negative stories that make the general interest media about the federal government. There's no place for agencies then to turn around and point and say, wait a minute, look at these five stories about things that went well at our agency. That doesn't really exist except in the occasional, and I mean very occasional, press release from a federal agency. But as you well know, on many occasions, even when you try to follow up on those press releases, you get nothing.
Yeah, that's right. It's become much more difficult to get any kind of information out of agencies than it used to be. And, you know, is this going to solve all the problems with the public perception of government? No, it's not. There are a lot of causes for that, a lot of root explanations for why that's gone on. And people, I think, in my view, have an unrealistic expectation generally of what government ought to do for them at what cost. And that's a very tough thing to deal with for people who work in agencies. But there's still, you know, this not being cooperative or helpful with people who are trying to report about how government works, good and bad. Like, even if someone's going to write about bad things that are going on, you're better off making your case the same way that, you know, President Obama made the case for the VA yesterday, in the context of saying he was going to have this investigation and going to take action if necessary. He pointed out things like that there are surveys showing that veterans generally like the care they get at VA hospitals. These are the kind of things that agencies should be working overtime to make sure that reporters know for context for their stories.
Well, I want to thank you and your colleagues, Catherine Peters and Frank Kunkel, and Troy Schneider from 1105 was in the room too, and spoke very eloquently about this issue and the fact that, you know, we're in the bubble with these agencies. They feel like they're in a bubble. One guy came up to me afterwards and said, I feel like I'm in a bubble. Well, we're there too, and we're talking about these issues, and we're looking for opportunities to tell success stories, and unfortunately striking out far too often than we're hitting home runs. Tom, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Always great to be with you.